Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
This is a podcast from The Times. Go to thetimes.co.uk.
The Rugby World Cup from The Times with Mark Suster.
We'll be with you every week with the latest from the tournament, looking at the prospects for the home nations and the other big guns, of course, and reviewing all the action on and off the field.
Find it at thetimes.co.uk or in iTunes.
Thanks for joining us here for our game podcast bonus, and I'm delighted to be here with Tony Evans. Now, Tony, we just had another Liverpool derby, but I want to ask you if you've been to a fair few over the years, and I think we just worked out that is it six decades?
I saw Dixie Dean, Elisha Scott, and Dixie Dean. I saw them. Honest, now, '60s. I've seen '60s, '70s, '80s, '90s, 2000s, and this decade. So that adds up to six decades, which I'm nowhere near that old. Honest.
Do you remember your can you pinpoint your very first Liverpool derby, or have there just been so many that?
No, I don't remember. I started going to match when I was very young, and my old fella died. So when I was 14, so he never told me what the first match. I can tell my younger brother because I used to take him, but I'm kind of in the mist of time. I have vague memories, of sort of games, but I don't know what my first game was.
Right, but by the time you were in your late teens, which middle to late teens, which I guess is when many of us reached a slightly different level of footballing self awareness. But we're talking the 70s at this stage.
Yeah,
can you tell us a little bit what Derby Day would be like? From the moment you wake up to after the match.
Oh, well, it was brilliant. It was, it's one of those days, the anticipation it builds up for a long time, it's,
Liverpool were very, very good back then, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, the first ones I remember in this sort of form was in the late 70s when, Everton weren't so good. But by the early 80s, mid-80s, it was brilliant. But, you get up and sort of fry up. Pub at 11 o'clock, in there, be full of both sides, you'd meet your mates, Evertonians, and then and go your separate ways, or not, because, often, especially at Goodison, the park end was relatively small, so you'd always end up in the enclosure or the paddock, and often with a couple of your Evertonian mates. As I said before, in the 5-0 game, celebrating the fifth, an Evertonian kicked me, and I still have the lump on my shin. There was nastiness. Don't get me wrong, it was never that friendly. Town on a Saturday night after the derby, you'd leave the wine lodge alone, and there was always the possibility of anarchy. But where it was, if I could describe it was like a family argument, a family row, where everyone goes away the next day, gets up, feels a little bit shady about it, and moves on, and pretends it was, say, for example, Man United. That was enemies. You weren't getting up the next morning feeling better about it. It was always, they there wasn't the component of hate that's crept into it in the last 15, 16, 17 years.
Now, what I'm about to say will upset fans of both sides, Liverpool and Everton. But as an outsider, if I see somebody in civilian clothing in Liverpool and I hear their accent, I can't really tell who's who. Is Liverpool kind of a big city that's also a small village, and when you did go out in town and whatever, you could tell who was Evertonian and who was
No. I mean, you'd know them, you know, sort of, especially, you know, during the real match-going years, you know, you know, sort of when you were travelling to all the away games, you'd know who went and, you know,
you'd recognise the faces.
Them. Yeah, you know, so, but again, I mean, most of the time it was very, very friendly, you know, it was, you know, sort of nodding terms, discussing your adventures at various places, and occasionally on derby nights it'd spiral out of control, but, you know, as I say, it wasn't a common thing. That these days, especially among the younger kids, there is a level of hatred which just didn't exist when I was young, you know, it's really, and I find it disappointing. I can't understand it. It's not, you know, it's one of those things I don't comprehend. The first time I saw it would have been in 96 when we played United at Wembley.
And I should point out, for those who haven't figured it out, when Tony says we, he means Liverpool.
Yeah, it's yeah, and if you accuse me of being a blue, they'll be murder. But you know, the I was in the lower Bullens, right by the fence, and all the Evertonians were singing "Ewa Cantona," and there's only one Man United. And I couldn't understand it. You know, it just wasn't the way I've been brought up. I've been brought up, you know, when Everton played Man United, I wanted Everton to win. One of the most difficult days I had, it was the 1985 Cup Final, where if Everton would have won, beat United, they would have done the double, and we hadn't done it yet. And, you know, but I couldn't want United to win. I was praying for global nuclear war. I was saying, Soviets, push the button, push the button.
And by the way, children, that sadly was a real threat in the mid-1980s, as some of us old-timers can tell you. But I want to go back to this because, you know, obviously the image of football, especially in this country in the 70s and 1980s, is through history is depicted as sort of very bleak, the hooliganism and Thatcher, the three-day week, and the country falling apart and whatever else. And yet, football-wise, despite all this, you know, you describe a friendly rivalry. And now we live in sort of the sanitized corporate football-going world. And also, I might add, not to upset Everton fans, but Liverpool and Everton are very much on different planes right now, football-wise. And yet the rivalry is nasty. How do you explain that?
I think in general it's got nastier across the board. Not in a physical sense, not in a fighting sense, but people say things which are, you know, absolutely unbelievable these days. And I think one of the reasons why it was friendlier back then was because there was no seats, no allocated seats. So if I went to a derby at Anfield or Goodison, if my Evertonian mates got tickets on the cop, they'd come and stand by us. They didn't have to go in an allotted seat surrounded by strangers. So you'd be together.
Oh, same, and I need to jump in here as well to remind younger people, your Evertonian mates probably didn't go to the match with in a brand spanking new Everton kit that they bought at the club shop for 85 quid, right?
Oh, no. You know, we dress nicely, you know, John Smedley's, you know, it's, you know, faded 501s, you know, it's, you know, the best trainees you could buy, like, you know, it's, although I was always a suede boots man myself.
So the close proximity is what created this different atmosphere. I mean, was it almost like more of a pride in the city, and less of an issue about who's red or blue?
I think, yeah. I mean, two things really stand out in my mind. It was going to Wembley in 84. You know, during the for the League Cup when we played Everton there, and we got down there. The game was on a Sunday. We got down there on a Saturday, and it was during the miners' strike. And you know, it's like sort of both sides were filling buckets. You know, everyone had I support Liverpool City Council badges on in red and blue, and we come out of Euston Station singing Merseyside. You know, I've never felt prouder of being a Scouser. And again, you know, when we did the double in '96, think about it. We've just done the double. We've beaten Everton at Wembley to do the double. They're second in the league. You know, 10 days before, it looked like they were going to do the double. As the teams did a lap of honour, loads of Blues stayed behind, and you know, all those behinds were singing, "Are you watching Manchester?" You know, it's like it had never happened now. You know, it's and there was the great sense of, you know, this, you know, sort of being scouts was the most important things. One of the most disappointing things that's happened to me in the last 5 years is when I was home at Christmas a couple of years ago, and I was talking to one of my Evertonian mates, and I said to him, "I don't know how you can support United, you know, when they play Liverpool." And he said, I said, "You know, we're scouts." He said, "I'm an Evertonian first, I'm a scouts a second." And that is just, you know, that's the sort of, you know, and I would think most Evertonians wouldn't think like that. I hope not, because you know, that Scouts pride then was you know, was one of the best things. It was possibly the best part of the whole footballing experience. You know, it's you know, football is a sort of flagship for your culture and for your beliefs, and you know, not just the game. We're getting into deep waters here, aren't we?
Yeah, and now I could make the point that we live in this globalized world where you don't have to be Scouts to be a Blue or a Red or whatever. But that involves a digression and, I guess, a conversation for a different day. Tony, thank you so much for joining me.
No problem at all.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a hacer tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.